Overheard at Yoga is brought to you in partnership with Speak Studios and Speak Boise. Speak Boise is a community-driven studio space where voices from all walks of life can speak and be heard. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook at Speak Studios, Speak Boise, and at their website, speakstudios.com. Speak Studios, speak and be heard. This podcast is also brought to you by Instant Imprints. Promote better with Instant Imprints. Instant Imprints are Boise's visual communications expert and your place for everything you need to promote your business, club, school, or group. As a locally owned business, Instant Imprints specializes in making your organization more visible with custom branded apparel, embroidery, promotional items, print services, and wide format printing for signs as well as banners and vehicle graphics. Want better ways to get noticed? Visit Instant Imprints at instantimprints.com/Boise or call 208-IMPRINT. That's 208-467-7468. It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Hello, welcome back to Overheard at Yoga. I'm super stoked to have Casey McEgan. Did I say that right? Is that your name?
Yeah.
Okay. She is my special guest star today. And Casey, you just graduated college and you teach bomb handstand classes. Can you give us like a little intro about you?
Yeah. Okay. Where should I start? Like yoga or like just a human?
Oh, I've never done a human intro before. Tell me your human intro.
Okay. I can do that. I'm from Southern California, so I was born and raised. I was a competitive gymnast growing up.
Get out of here.
Yeah, and my sister was too. My sister actually went to BSU. That's how my whole family ended up here. And then my brother was super athletic too, like not Special Olympics. Definitely not Special Olympics.
He's going to listen and be like, fuck you. No,
the Junior Olympics for baseball. So we were kind of raised in this like competitive, like Mormon household.
If that oh, makes yeah. Sense.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then I got really, my brother actually passed away. So
Sorry.
Oh, you're fine. He died the day before I was turned 10. But that's kind of like a big part of my yoga journey and kind of like who I am and why I am the way I am, right?
Mm.
So like tragedy struck at that age. And then I got really into theater right after gymnastics. Gymnastics is a very big fear-based sport. So after my brother passed away, it was really hard to go back into gym and not have like the fear of like hurting myself a lot.
Oh.
So I found another outlet, which was theater basically. Okay. So then I started dancing and singing. And I did a lot of musicals all growing up. And then I ended up at a performing arts high school in Orange County, California. And there is really where I felt like I started to like understand myself as a human, if that makes sense. Like as a teenager can.
Okay.
And it was also when I took my first yoga class. So it was my senior year of high school. I lived in Fullerton, which is in Orange County. And a friend of mine was like, hey, I heard about this thing called Bikram. We should go. And like it was totally like trendy in like the 2004 way of like there was a vegan cafe next door and then a Bikram studio. And it was like, you know, when vegan was becoming like a big thing.
Yeah.
And yeah. So I felt like I was like this cool hip teenager and was like, I do Bikram yoga and I'm vegan.
Oh, my gosh.
And then, yeah, after I took my first Bikram class, I mean, yoga class, that was my introduction, right? I was 17 and
your first yoga class was a Bikram yoga class.
Yes, it was. Yeah. But like for me, it made sense, right? I was a gymnast. Like I would consider like Bikram yoga pretty A-type. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like teaching it is kind of like coaching it a little bit. Like it's just, it felt right with me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially like with my background. So yeah, after my first class, I was kind of hooked and I got like a lot of my high school friends, like we had a yoga sleepover one night, like senior year of high school. And then I ended up going to school in New York. So getting my undergrad in New York and I studied acting, but pretty much the whole time through, I was determined to be a yoga teacher. Pretty much. So like my homepage of my website or my web browser was Bikram yoga training from the age 18 on, really.
Okay.
So yeah. So I like studied abroad in London and I did Bikram every day there, like religiously. Like I didn't drink in college. I was just like A type, super like constrained.
You didn't drink in college. Mm-hmm. God, you're such a good girl. Were you still Mormon at that point?
No.
Okay.
I mean, that was more like when I moved from my hometown to Orange County is kind of when I started, I know, like sexuality and all the things kind of came out for me. And I was like, well, I don't, now religion is just kind of like, it's kind of nice to have a foundation, I guess, but yeah, not religious anymore. Mm-hmm. Not a practicing anything.
Didn't really resonate any longer.
No. And I think like, religion, and I just took a rhetoric class, which I got an A in, woo. but like, I think religion has a good purpose in life for people who are looking for things to believe in, especially when they're going through a hard time.
That sometimes that's all we have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I get why people turn to religion in terms of like processing and coping and, and good for them. That's just not my journey anymore.
God, I wish I could turn to religion. I just like, what's that like having that peace of mind? Well, I'm just screaming at, like on this planet in outer space wondering what's going on.
I mean, me too. So I know. Sometimes I like look at like my sister's pretty religious and I'm like, she just seems so happy all the time. I'm like, and I'm over here like, motherfucker.
Like, oh my gosh.
I'm struggling.
So relate. Oh my God. Okay. So you're in college and you're doing Bikram every single day.
Pretty much. Yeah. And then when I graduated college, I was kind of like, okay, I had three options for myself. I was like, I'm going to be, because at that point I decided I didn't want to be a professional actor. I'd already kind of done that in New York and was kind of like, no. I like to be around people like that, but I don't like, in terms of the entertainment industry is really hard, especially when you already suffer from things like eating disorders and, you know, you have an addictive personality, which I am all these things. It was just like not a healthy choice. So I was like, okay, I'm either going to, I was going to go back to school for something. So I was like, I'm either going to go become a Bikram yoga teacher, or I'm gonna go to study like circus school in France.
Oh my God.
Or I'm gonna be a dance therapist. Those were like my three options. And I was like, okay, if I go to study in France, like that would be awesome. But like, what does that lead to? And dance therapy is only recognized in like three states. So what does that lead to? So Bikram yoga was kind of like my avenue of like getting to travel as a young person and then also making money as a young person because I mean, it was standard starting way back because I went to Bikram yoga training in 2010. So I was like barely, I was 22, but like $50 an hour was standard what you started. And that was way back then. So for me, that was like more, but that was more money than I had, I would have made doing anything else really. So after teacher training there, which I mean, that training, if you've watched the documentary on Netflix, it's a whole thing. It was not my favorite time in my life.
wait. So $50 an hour, is that $50 an hour or $50 a 90
class.
Minutes?
Yeah, it's class.
And are you checking in your own class and cleaning up after your own
depends
class?
On the studio.
So how?
I've had all of them.
So is it like a 3 hour venture?
No, usually, I mean, not, it depends on where you are, right? Like when I worked in Mexico City, like I was often scheduled doubles and triples. Just to make it make sense.
Totally.
And then like, I actually had a driver, so this is a whole nother story. I had a driver, cause it wasn't safe for me to drive in Mexico City, take me to different studios. So I was kind of like plugged in at like four different studios and would teach sometimes like four or five classes in a day. So it just, it depends where you're at, right? And then I wasn't responsible for any of the cleaning at those studios. But then in Los Angeles, there was always like a manager, assistant manager at the desk. But the studio was like, it's kind of like Hollywood Market, like so busy, like we needed more than one person behind the desk. I mean, 60 people in one class.
You know, like amazing energy. Oh my God.
It's my favorite. I miss those classes a lot. But yeah, and then in terms of cleaning, like we kind of, not really. Not really. We just kind of taught. And but then I've been at other studios where you're in charge of all the things. So it just depends. Like in Australia, I pretty much was, you run the show. I'd say most of the studios in Boise, I run the show. But I'm never like, you know, but then I don't have any of the other answers like about specials or things going on at the studio because I'm not like an active part of any community.
People ask you questions, you're like, ooh,
I don't know. You should probably talk to this person.
So you were 22 when you did your Bikram teacher training. Where did you do that at?
It was in Las Vegas.
Was it with Bikram?
Yeah, it was with Bikram.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it like the documentary a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, so again, like I was vegan. I was like this little vegan lesbian at the time, right? I don't identify with really anything anymore, but I was strictly these things. Right?
Yeah.
And then I went to training and I mean, there was over 500 people at my training.
Whoa.
So it was, and so many countries represented. So it was like this really cool experience, like culturally, but then you have, you know, Bikram and all the things that went along with that. And
right.
I mean, it was true. So for me, I went into it being a very naive child.
22.
Yeah.
Little
baby.
Like,
yeah. Like my roommate had a kid and like, I didn't know her and just like the amount of shenanigans that were going on at this training. I mean, you kind of like hear about that when like adults go away to like, you know, a private island chaos releases.
Well, I kind of feel like if you're growing up Mormon or LDS, you're a little bit sheltered.
Totally.
And especially in terms of what is a cult.
Yeah, I know. Or just like, yeah, like hindsight. Like I had somebody say to me once, they're like, I feel like you'd be a good like advocate for cult living. And I was like, wait, what the
for
fuck?
It?
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Don't question it. I believe everything they tell you. Don't think for yourself.
Yeah, I was like, that's the closest I've ever gotten. And I was sitting there, you know, watching Bikram being like, I don't understand what's going on right now. Like, mm-hmm. I definitely suffer from depression, but like my depression after becoming a yoga teacher, which is not what should have happened, was like, my decline, actually, like in terms of just like I saw a lot of people cheat on their spouses and like the whole thing with Bikram and like the podcast 30 for 30 with Bikram was the girl that talks is from my training.
Okay.
So a lot of the like shit that hit the fan was from my direct training.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then, yeah. Oh. So it's just like it didn't feel good. I didn't really get it. I didn't really vibe with anybody, but I ended up like getting a girlfriend at teacher training and spent all my time with her. And then I moved to Mexico City with her. So I was living my own thing.
I think with yoga, religion, and cults in general, every single person, like you pick and choose what you love. And some people I know are like, how can you do Bikram knowing what a monster he was? And we're able to separate it. Like for me, I couldn't separate some religious stuff. So I just was like, I can't separate it. But I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a white girl in the US and I can separate it for yoga. And I'm like, I realize there's so many gurus who have misused their power and hurt people a lot, but I still fucking love yoga.
Totally.
So,
but that it's not just yoga. I mean, that's like, I mean, again, I was just taking this rhetoric class about like the rise of Christianity and the fall of Rome and like how people worship their emperors. I mean, that's been around since the beginning of time. So like I've never been a person to worship anybody ever, but I get how it's kind of the same as like having religion, right? Like people want something to believe in, to feel better. Mm-hmm. And if there is a person that represents something that's enlightened, that I get why people are drawn to it. I personally, like even with Bikram, it wasn't like that for me. It was more like, for me, it was like processing my mind-body connection and processing like my brother's death and like kind of everything that I'd already gone through. Like I went into the hot room and it was therapy for me.
Yeah.
And that was like really why I wanted to become a yoga teacher. It wasn't because like I wanted to wear cool clothes and be cool. Like like I was young and I felt powerful in public speaking in a yoga class so I could connect with people who are going through a hard time. And that's ultimately what my purpose in life has always been. But like, unfortunately, I mean, I've been teaching for almost 12 years. I mean, there's some of that I've lost some of the passion because it's turned more into a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's my journey. And I understand that. But like for the first solid, like 5 or 6 years of teaching yoga, it was like, I was just so happy to be a yoga teacher and to like, especially, I mean, I hate to be like cliche and be like, LA was so cool, but like LA was really cool. Like I loved working there. I love that studio. It closed in COVID or last year, which is really sad, but it was just like my home. And like, I, you know, even though I was having other issues in my life that I would go to my therapist for, work was never one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, I had my friends at work and my support system at work and like I would get raises. So I was making good money and it was just, all of it was like this big, it was a big, like 5-year chunk of my life that was just really nice. In terms of like the yoga world and like all the like bullshit that goes along with it, but then also like lots of like life growing challenges and acceptances. And I don't know, it was a good time.
when did you know it was time to make a change? Because you said you started to lose some of the passion and that was your sign.
Yeah. Let's see. So LA's hard because it's kind of a trap, right? So it's a really expensive city. And rent only goes up. And, you know, I'm not going to be making, I made more money in Australia as a yoga teacher than I did in LA, but this is really, the story is I coach gymnastics also, and I tore my shoulder coaching gymnastics. So it fucking sucked. I tore my labrum, like it happened, like I could see it immediately. I was slouched. So that was like a long process. It happened at work, at a different work where I wasn't an independent contractor. So I went through workers' comp and like I had to have surgery, but this whole process took like a year. So I had like kind of this year to like just be teaching yoga and like have a hurt shoulder. And like, I was like, I don't know if I can keep living like this anymore. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not getting anywhere and I'm a pretty driven person. Like I've gone through four different yoga trainings. Like this is in this time in my life, I was in a program, a yoga therapy program at Loyola Marymount University. And I didn't really like the program and I didn't feel like I was like really evolving as a teacher. So I kept like trying to find more ways to like grow. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I wasn't quite growing anymore. So after I tore my shoulder and had surgery, I like came upon more money than I'd ever had, basically. And I was like, so I can stay in LA and I can get a new couch and like budget for the rest of the year.
Okay.
Or I can move. Yeah. And I decided to move. So I got a visa. I booked a bunch of jobs in Australia and I went.
I had a friend at my yoga teacher training who's Australian. And she was telling me that she made $80 a class.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, at the time, like, our starting, some studios were, like, 15 in Nampa, like, 25, like, and only the seasoned teachers were making, like, maybe 50.
Oh, yeah.
So when she's like, oh, yeah, 80, like,
oh, yeah.
I was like, what? For an hour and you don't even check in your own class and you don't even clean anything?
My yoga teaching experiences in Sydney specifically were just, or, like, all of it, actually. It was, like, I could probably write a book about like the weirdness I experience in that like over a year. Just like, I mean, I would be teaching in a basement right in the CBD, which is like, okay, so imagine you get off the train, you see the Sydney Harbor, the Opera House is right here, and then the bridge is right here. So if you're, I don't know if you have a visual in your head.
Sure.
But like I would get off the train and I'd walk across the railroad tracks and go down to a basement and I teach like 45 minute vinyasa classes to people that were like corporate workers. So okay. They would come in their suits. And like take off their clothes and then come and take a class on their lunch break and then go back. I was paid $75 for 45 minutes. So it was awesome. And then in the same day, I would go like around the corner, but still in the same area and go up, you know, 25 flights of not stairs, that's too many, an elevator. And I teach another 45 minute class to like, for a company, right? And that was $100 for 45 minutes. And then I'd be looking at, because I was so high, I'd be looking at the harbor. So it was just kind of like amazing, but also like there was a lot of growing pains there. So it was like, I had these like cool experiences, but then I also like slept on the train a bunch because like what I didn't realize, like it's fun to like, I'm a big traveler, but like, and it's fun to do that and have new experiences. But like community is something that you make over time and it does not just come to you. And you have to actively seek it. And I think like leaving Los Angeles was like really, I learned that lesson then, if that makes sense. And I have been resistant to community ever since.
Oh, resistant.
Yeah.
Because losing it is so hard.
Because losing it is really hard. And I don't feel like I'm in a place where like I'm moving again.
Yeah,
right.
You are.
Yeah. So, and I always, Boise for me has never, this is the most home it's ever been. And I actually like it, but I just feel like I'm just finally getting like friends and like having things to do. But it took over 3 years to get there. And it's like,
and you had COVID to deal with.
COVID, a lot of alone time. Like again, so lots of reflection. Time. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. And then I moved here. So after moving to Australia and then back, I had directed a teacher training in Australia. That pays well also.
I think corporate pays more in general because you can set your prices.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or like I had a girl, she was American, but she had like this little company and she brought teachers in and she said, you'll always get paid $100. So I don't know what they were paying her. I didn't know what her side of the business was, but that was a good gig. She was smart on that. Ooh. On that round. She's still there though. Yeah. And then, yeah, moving back here, I was originally working at a studio that was paying me like, well, mm-hmm. way more than any other studio, and that studio closed. So after that studio closed, I was like, so now I just kind of, I teach for fun, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
I like to teach where I like the people I'm yes. teaching, and yes. that I like know my language and I can like joke with.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to feel uncomfortable in a space anymore. I've been doing it too long, if that makes sense. Like
I love how cute you are when you teach, because I feel like sitting down having a conversation. I mean, it's very apparent, like you're intelligent, you're smart. And so I would expect you to be like really serious yoga teacher, but no. You bring some lightheartedness and this like really friendly attitude towards your yoga practice. And it's so appreciated.
Thank you. I mean, I think that's important, right? Mm-hmm. I think, especially when you go into a studio with mirrors, I mean, raise your hand if you're hard on yourself. Like,
oh my God.
Right? Like, and I know that. I know mm-hmm. that feeling of walking into a yoga class and being like, I fucking hate this. I hate that. Like, why do I have to be like this? Like, fuck, I suck at this pose. Like, why did I have 20 beers? I don't know. You know, like the things that happen, the thought process that happens in a yoga room.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, after all, like it's a classroom. It's a classroom for learning, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you go in there and you have an expectation or you have a negative thought, like that class and space holds space for all those things. And the thing that I can do as a teacher, and I hope we all can do as teachers, is just to like make them feel better, right? If they're mm-hmm. having a day where they feel shitty, I hope I can enlighten them to be like, it's just yoga. You're gonna be okay.
I love that. What's one of your biggest takeaways from like yoga, how it's helped you? Like biggest lesson that you learned from yoga?
The humanness in us, I think. I think actually more than my own practice is observing my students and just, yeah, we're all the same.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you're still a teacher, but in a different way now.
Yeah. Yeah, I just got my master's in secondary teaching. So I got a job up in towards Coeur d'Alene. So I'm teaching 12th grade English and theater. So I kind of get to bring back what my undergrad's in. So I get to, and like I relate theater and yoga similarly in the like therapy process way, you know, like.
What do you mean?
Well, if you're, you know, acting is, you know, you're processing. So let's say like when I went to a performing arts high school and I did a lot of monologues, right? So I would pick monologues to help me kind of like process my brother's death. Wow. And like, that was very brave of me as like a 16-year-old kid. Uh-huh. And that's essentially what I did when I went to college too. Like it was a lot of, I received a lot of stigmatism, because mental health and like, I have PTSD from when my brother passed away. And like I had all these things that were going on in my head, and like I kind of put them in my acting classes, and it was a lot of processing emotions with my body, with mm-hmm. my breath, with my face, with everything. And I believe that yoga is the same.
Mm-hmm.
You go in there and maybe you're not putting on a show, but you're moving and you're connecting and you are processing and you are effectively listening. There's like all these things that happen in a yoga class or even in an acting exercise that kind of like get you to your core. If you're listening.
Mm-hmm. Like, can you just tell me like a little bit more about that?
I don't know.
In yoga. So like you're breathing.
Yeah,
you're listening.
You're breathing.
You're moving.
Yeah.
What else?
Just deep. I mean, have you ever had like been in an exercise and just, or been in a yoga class and walked out and just felt like you could finally take a deep breath?
Yes. Take a deep breath.
Or just like walked out of moving and felt like you needed to cry.
Mm-hmm.
Or cried in class.
So many times.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Like that is, it's like catharsis.
Yeah.
Which is like what I called, I had my kids last year, my high school kids do like a catharsis project for like 2020, right? In acting though.
Mm.
So it's like, okay, like write me a skit, do something where you can kind of like shed those emotions. And I think when you move with your body, whether it's performing or theater or dance, singing. I love to sing when I'm feeling shitty. Like just like getting those things out, because if you harbor them, I mean, so many other things can happen, right? So how can we process or like manifest like positive things for ourselves outwardly we can do it by starting inwardly with breath, with practice, and just routine. And then if you need more verbal, then you go to a therapist.
I have to ask you before we wrap up, yeah. What have you overheard at yoga?
Oh my God, so many things. I was listening to your first episode today and you're like, I've seen so many things. I don't know. I've overheard a lot. I've seen way too many ball sacks.
Oh, what? Was this in like another country? And they're just wearing.
This was in LA.
LA would, right?
I have so many stories about that. Overheard. Okay. This is like what I'll say as like a thing not to do.
Okay.
Girls, ladies, if you have your period, do not wrap your pad around your shorts.
Like your shorts,
like
the wings around the tiny shorts. And you've seen that.
It's kind of weird.
Oh my God.
I mean, I get it. Like I'm all about female power, but I don't want to look at the wings of your pad.
I've never seen that.
Yep.
Okay. And we're going to leave it there.
Bye.
I just want to thank you so much again for showing up, being on my little podcast.
Yeah,
I adore you. I adore your classes. Do you have any classes coming up?
I teach weekly classes. I'm actually teaching. I'm going to take 2 months off of teaching, which I've never done ever, unless there's like sub jobs. The end of June through August. So I'll be around.
Okay.
I do some workshops. I don't know.
If people want to follow you, how can they follow you?
On Instagram, probably. But I'm private, so you have to, you know, ask.
Oh,
you I'm a teacher ask. Now. Yeah, I got to be specific. It's Yoga Time Casey, KACIE.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Casey.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste.